There's a saying that goes, if you hang around 4 millionaires, pretty soon you'll become the 5th. You are what you eat. You become what you consume. You emulate what you see in front of you. You don't get to choose your family, but you most assuredly get to choose your friends. So choose wisely. The following is a continuation of a conversation that I had with one of my friends, one of my accountability partners, Jermaine Little. Welcome to the Edge. Let's get sharp.
Traps. When they'll go in the hood and they'll put a bike chain tied to a pole or something by a string, and they'll put the bike there waiting for somebody to try to steal it. But you know they do that in poor neighborhoods because you know that's an opportunity. Like somebody can see that and say, you know what, I can pawn that thing, you know, and I can feed my kids, so I can pawn that thing, and I can you know go get a shirt so I can get a job or get a haircut or something like those lines. Or you can find those same people in the same hood that say, I can get that bike, I can pawn it and get me some drugs. You know what I'm saying? That's all in the same, they're all in the same pot. You know what I'm saying? So they look at these people and try to victimize these people like, oh, they deserve everything they get. But how are you going to go on the poor and you're going to do that to the poor? How is that okay? You know what I'm saying? They're in a situation when they're trying to survive, but you know, you and they're trying to taunt them and you know, put these things in their face when they see opportunity, because what else are they supposed to see? You know, they ain't got nothing. Right. What are they supposed to see? They see that thing sitting there for hours, nobody come to it. You know, obviously it's not important if somebody is still sitting here. So let me grab this real quick. Let me see what I can get out of it. And that's just, I don't make them bad people. They make them survivalists. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So,
I think what needs to happen is we need to try to transition from surviving to living, right, and then from living to thriving. You know, that's got to be the process. And until, as long as everybody's in survival mode, they can't see the fact that they can thrive. You know, there has to be a level of understanding that it's possible. You know, like right now, there's so many people that think being successful, making it, is not possible because of whatever reason, you know, the situation that they're in, the people telling them that they ain't gonna do it, they can't do it, and they ain't gonna be able to do it, and that's stopping them from being able to do it. That's stopping them from being able to dream it. If you can't dream it, you can't achieve it. So if you're killing people's dreams, what do you expect to happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you expect? Yo. If you can't dream, what do you expect is going to happen? There's no hope. It's Mad Max Thunderdome. There's no hope. You know what I'm saying? So the first and foremost, what I think needs to happen, there has to be, we have to get the community dreaming. Not pipe dreaming. Dreaming of more. Seeing other than basketball, rappers, and you know what I'm saying? Whatever the case may be. Seeing the other opportunities out there. There's so many things, there's so many different opportunities, so many ways of making money that's out there that people don't even think of. They can't think of. Their brain capacity can't allow them to think of because their world has been small. Their world has been in a box their entire life. You got people that's in Norristown that never left Norristown.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, think of how small that world is. So that's all they think is possible is within that world. Right. And TV is fantasy world. That's fantasy land. So if you see somebody make it on TV, that's fantasy. You got to see somebody see it in person, in live and in person. You got to see someone that said, you know what? I came from there, and now I'm here. And this is the blueprint of how I did it. This is the path that I took. And we got to start instilling hopes and dreams into our youth, not beating them down about what can't happen and what we can't do. Those days is over. You know what I'm saying? Those days of saying, oh, we're being held down or we're being held back, that's over. The time is to take what's ours. And I don't mean rioting and burning down buildings. I mean owning our royalty, owning our, you know, the fact that we're kings and queens, owning the fact that nothing can stop us but ourselves. Only person that's in your way is the person in the mirror. That's the only person that can stop you. Is that person in the mirror. Anybody else is just another hurdle you got to get around. That's it. Don't matter what anybody say. They don't know what you're capable of. They have no idea.
Talking good now, boy. You better go ahead.
Bro, we had a black president. Come on, right? Man. You can't tell me anything is not possible at this point.
Right.
We had a black president in America with all this racism. Right. You should look at it right now, all this racism and stuff that's happening right now, but yet we still managed to get a black president.
Wow.
Think about that. You can't tell me nothing's impossible.
You can't tell me nothing's
impossible. So now it's all about, so once you start, and then once you start instilling dreams, and once there's dream and you're able to dream for more and want for more and expect more, you know what I'm saying? Once you're able to do that, then it's about, okay, how do we get more? What's the plan? You know, putting a plan together and executing that plan. Getting the habit of accomplishing goals. You know what I'm saying? That's what we got to do with our kids. Start having them get in the habit of accomplishing goals, because that feeling is addictive. You know, you set a goal and you get it. That's addictive. There's no high like that. You know what I'm saying? That's what we got to start. That's what we need to teach our kids, how to do that. That way, now they get excited. Now they're like, okay, I did it once, I can do it again. You know, now you thinking bigger, thinking stronger, thinking higher. You know what I'm saying? And then it's unstoppable. Then it's unstoppable. And what we need to do is we need to be a resource for these youth. We need to be the resource for them. We need to help them along the way. You know, just like the generation before us need to help us, we need to help the younger. Like, we always got to reach back. And we if we have that crab mentality in which we got to crawl out, and when we make it out, it's adios. We're never going to make it that way. We're never going to survive. We need to, when we get to that one level, pull you up to my level. Let me pull everybody up to where I'm at as I'm still working to go higher. And as I go higher, I'm pulling, hey, come on. I got this one covered. Let's get this next one. And then when somebody surpassed me, I'm like, hey, pull me up with you. It's the same. Like, we got to come together. We got to rise together. You know, we've been conditioned to think that, you know, we can't do it together. We've been conditioned to think that, oh, you know what I mean, everybody's going to hold you back. Some people are going to hold you back, and some people aren't going to see the vision. Some people, and everybody's not going to see your vision. If they don't see your vision, how are they going to buy in? You know, if they don't buy in, they ain't going to help. So you got to get them to buy in that it's possible.
So in that, what you just said, how can we get people to shift from survival mode? Like, if you have the practical steps to shift from survival mode into thriving. I know it has a lot to do with economics.
Absolutely.
I know that you are pursuing real estate and other things now to kind of bring yourself from that grind so that you can make the shift. But again, how are we going to teach that next generation that you don't have to survive, you can thrive?
Right. So I think what needs to happen, and it can't happen like in a grandiose scale. It's got to happen in smaller scale. It's got to happen in individual families. They have to have financial literacy, first and foremost. They got to understand money and how it works. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got, and not only that, how to obtain it, how to get it, you know, how to create it, you know, because that's what it's about. The people that's, you know, out that's making money, they're creating a way to make money. And I'm not talking like you can't look for the get quick rich schemes. It's not about that. It's about respecting the process of whatever you're trying to accomplish. So me, my deal is real estate. You know, that's what I got a passion for. I got a passion for real estate. And within real estate, I've learned so many ways of creating money. So for me, what I need to do, and I'm not there yet. I'm still in the beginning stage of my real estate career. But when I think of things I need to pay for, I think of, okay, yes, I got my job. My job, my 9-to-5 right now pays my bills. But anything extra, I got to think, okay, where am I going to get that extra money? So I can go and I can find someone that want to buy a house, and I can help them buy a house, which I've done. to get a quick payoff here and there. But the key, is having residual money, money that's coming consistently, what they call cash flow. Things need the cash flow. How I do that is I'm going to basically buy a property and rent it out. And as long as I have tenants, I'm constantly getting a check. You know, it's going to pay my, I'll pay my bills. As long as once I get that check, I'll take that check, I pay all the bills. As long as there's more money after I pay all those bills on that account for that house, then I, now I'm cash flowing. Now that's extra money that's in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? So that's, once you do that, then it's just repeat. They call it, what is it called? BRRRR. It's BRRRR. It's buy, rehab, what is it? Buy, rehab, refinance, repeat. You know what I'm saying? And that's how you constantly do it. And next thing you know, you build a portfolio. And not only that, not only are you cash flowing, now you have assets. When you have assets, now you're important because now you can leverage those assets, you know, to then do something else. If you want to start a business, you can leverage one of your assets to get the money to start that business. Not only that, there's also something that a lot of the rich do. One thing that a lot of rich do that a lot of, you know, we normal laymen don't do because just because we don't know any better. But whole life insurance policies. Mm-hmm. When you get a whole life insurance policy, everybody think of, when they think of life insurance, they think about the death benefit. When someone dies, this large lump sum of money you can get. But there's also a life benefit to whole life insurance policies in which you can borrow against that policy. And you can borrow against that policy to do whatever you need to do, whether it's home renovations, whether it's, you know, starting a business, whatever you need to do, you can borrow against that policy. And then when you borrow against that policy, you then have an option. You can pay it back, or, and when you pay it back, you can then borrow from it again. Or if you don't pay it back, the death part of the benefits is going to pay it back. So the first thing that happens is when you die, the death benefit will pay off the loan and then give you the rest of the money for the whatever the policy says you're deemed to have. Now, people are doing that, and especially the rich are doing that. They got whole life insurance policies on all their family members, right? And peep game, and this is what blew my mind. Let's say I do that. I get a whole life insurance policy on all my family members. And the beneficiary of that policy, I can have a trust. It could be a family trust. So the benefit from it goes into the family trust. So now that family trust, I could put parameters, okay, anybody in my family can borrow from this trust as long as it's to start a business. Now that right there is structuring your family to want to start businesses because they know they got the money to do it from the family trust. Now, again, they can pay it back, you know, and then borrow from it again if they want to, or if they don't pay it back, they can never borrow from it again. You know what I'm saying? That'd be the parameters. So it can never destroy. No, it's not a whole bunch of borrowing and not paying it back. And that can be what fuels your family for generations. That can take care of your family for generations. Now you start talking about where that generational wealth comes from, which we've been cut out from for ages. You know what I'm saying? You understand, and that's the thing about generational wealth. Why it seems like Black people don't have a bunch of money? It's because we've been cut out of the system. You know, generational wealth comes from owning property. You know what I'm saying? And it was a time that we wasn't allowed to do that.
Right.
Long time. And in the areas where their properties had value, we wasn't allowed to buy there. It was redlining. They wouldn't allow Blacks there. They wasn't allowing Blacks to get loans. You know what I'm saying? So those are all, that's after slavery, but yet still happening up until like the 60s and 70s. So all those times where we could have been using our money to create generational wealth, we wasn't allowed to participate. So that's why I get sick and tired of people saying, well, just pull yourself from your bootstraps. Don't give me that bootstrap while I pull the laces out and strangle you with them. Give me no bootstraps. Come on, man. But that's how the game's been rigged. But, you know, right now we got the ability to now join the game. But so many people don't understand it. a lot of people think that, oh, the best thing I can do is get a job, work every day, and hopefully get a retirement and then live in retirement. I mean, you saw how it was in Town Manor East. Like, people are struggling. That's bare minimum. That's bare minimum in your later days where you're supposed to be enjoying life for the at the fullest at that point with no responsibilities, just enjoying yourself. You're stuck in that type of situation. No. It's not how it should be. It's not how it's supposed to be. So, but education is the first step, you know. So beginning, like daring to dream, getting that dream, you know what I'm saying? So that you can get out of survival mode and start going to living mode. But it starts with the dream. After the dream comes education. Because now you got to educate yourself and accomplish whatever dream you have. Whether it's being a doctor, being a lawyer, being a real estate man, being a, you know, a chef, whatever the case may be, you got to map out your plan on how to accomplish that. You know, what they, how they say, what the saying goes, a failure to plan is a plan to fail.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So if you don't have a plan, it's just a pipe dream. Cause it's not just going to fall on your lap and all of a sudden you're there. That's not how anything works. So nothing works. So you always got to have the plan. And then you got to say, okay, once you map out the plan of how you're going to get there, then it's about walking in your plan. Because if you're not walking in your plan, then what are you doing? Again, it's just a dream. It's just a pipe dream at that point. If you're not working towards your dream, it's just a pipe dream. So you got to work. And that's what you have to do is work. It's work. It's not easy. It's not fun. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. That's what you got to understand. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. It's not easy. So because it's not easy, that means you have to put some work in. And if you put the work in, one, you're going to appreciate it more once you do succeed. And two, you know, you're going to separate yourself from the pack. So, you know, changing minds is the biggest and the hardest thing to do. It's to change minds. But, you know, one mind at a time, one community at a time. But I think you can't tell me it's not possible because it is.
It is possible.
It is. Hold on, I got the train coming by, loud behind train.
Where are you still in Royals for?
Yeah, I'm still in Royals for it. You know, trying to eventually get out of here, but you know, got to stay in the school district though. Yeah, because Jazz.
How's that?
Well, we didn't start yet. They start next week.
Okay.
But I mean, they'll be fine. Jazz will be fine. Right? I said, you'll be fine online learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, this is Mike. He came up one time. He lives in Florida, so. I think you saw him when you came through in Florida, when we went to Universal.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, like that's so far. She switched. She'd be like, acting like she grown. Like, that was so long ago. That was like last year, Jazz.
That wasn't that long ago.
3 years is not a long time. Okay, if you say so. What, you about to go to dance?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, have fun.
It's like I was 9, 12 now. Okay.
I know. She kills me when she do that. Huh? When you act like you, like when you were 9 was so long ago, like, no, what's it?
9.
3, wow, 3 years, that's nothing.
Wow,
right?
3 years.
That's why she calls me old all the time.
A word?
Yeah.
Wait till she gets 25.
I know, right? But yeah, that's, I think that's the key is, you know, first is, that motivation, that dream, like that passion, the dream, like, cause that's the best thing you can do for, you know, any community, and especially kids, get them to dream of more, because dreams then stop to dreams then leads to action and leads to, you know, innovation, because, you know, that's the best way to kind of get to where we need to be, is different type of different paths. There's no one way. I'm a one person believe there's no one way to do anything. There's multiple ways to do it. You know, you just got to find your way of doing it. And like right now for me, the biggest challenge is finances. The biggest challenge is having the money to do the things you want to do. But if I'm the one to build that money, the next generation after me won't have that problem. You know, every parent's dream, every parent's, you know, purpose is that their children don't have to do or go through the things that they went through, don't have to struggle the way they had to struggle. So for me, it's having to worry about those financial things to stop you from doing anything that you want to do, to be able to provide some type of income and some type of revenue that there's always, hey, if it's a dream that you're passionate about, I don't want anything to be in your way. And that's I think that right there, if you can provide that, there's nothing that can really stop. Why do you think all these, you know, people that has money is keep making money? Because they don't have that hurdle of having to worry about how to finance it. You know what I'm saying? How you can go and you watch these shows like House Hunters and stuff like that, and they'd be like, yeah, I'm a chef at a kitchen at the local restaurant, and the girl's like, yeah, I'm a cashier at the supermarket, and our budget is $450,000.
What?
How? Because the part they leave out is mommy and daddy's gonna give them 50 grand each to go towards it, or you know what I'm saying, as a down payment. Like that's something that's huge. That's a huge leg up. You know what I'm saying? Like that cannot be overlooked. Like I think I was just talking to my mom the other day, and she was talking about how T.I.'s daughter was all on the internet saying, "I'm independent. I do everything on my own. My parents don't pay for anything." She's, mind you, she's in college right now. So I'm like, okay, well, who paying for college?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're famous. You got a podcast. You got a platform. Why you got a platform?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because of who you are. Because of your parents. Don't disrespect your parents like that, saying like they didn't do anything to help you. Pay homage. Say, I'm going to stand on the shoulders of my parents, and this is what I'm going to do, but I'm going to make sure I take care of myself. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of key. Like, our kids are supposed to stand on our shoulders to then go to the next step, to get move forward to the next level, to then do better than we did. And that's the key, is giving them shoulders to stand on to do that. You know what I'm saying?
That's good. And it's like, these people are giving the game away, but people can't see it because they're so focused.
Because they focus on surviving. They focus on, you know, eating. Yeah. They focus on, you know, paying rent, paying bills, or figuring out how they're going to pay rent, or figuring out how they're going to pay bills.
Yeah.
And it's
if you think about, I'm sorry to cut you off, but
no, you
Kevin go. Won't stay. Mm-hmm. His son, JoJo, just started a podcast. His son is like 10, 11, something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a cool show, and he's moving him forward in that. So his parents are setting him up for something. Jim Gaffigan is a comedian. Every time he has another baby, he does a stand-up special. Mm-hmm. Money that he gets from a stand-up special, he basically puts it away for his kid. And that kid's basically set up for life, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they're like, they're giving the game away. They're telling you how it's done, but nobody's paying attention, you know?
No. I mean, Jay-Z had a whole album about, you know, what to do.
444, right?
Yeah, like he's giving game away, like, but people don't, you know, listen. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not 100% their fault, but I don't actually like using the word fault, because it's nobody's fault of the situation that they're in. They're just in a situation. Some people can't see it because, you know, half our community going through PTSD, like, not through the stuff that they see, through the stuff that they experience in the household. Like, they don't have the mental capacity to even think about dreaming of more. They're basically trying to survive day to day. You know what I'm saying? Like they I can't look at them and say, just pull yourself from your bootstrap. If I did it, you can do it. No, that's the worst. I can't stand that mentality. I can't stand it, because my situation ain't their situation. Their situation ain't my situation. I probably wouldn't be able to, you know, wake up in the morning if I was in some of these people's situation. Who am I to judge them? You know what I'm saying? And that's the same thing for anyone else. Like, oh, you could just do this. You wouldn't last a day in my shoes. You know what I'm saying? So, like, again, Everybody's situation is different. The only thing we can do is provide hope for those people. You know, let them know that, hey, this isn't it. You know, this isn't just how it's going to be. You can change your situation. Like the movie A Knight's Tale, you can change your stars. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can change your stars.
I see you out
yeah.
here.
You can change your stars. It ain't going, that don't mean it's going to be easy.
Come on.
But it's possible. And if it's possible, that means you can, there's something you can do to obtain it. You know what I'm saying? As long as there's a chance, I'm good. Because that's all I need is a chance. That's me personally. All I need is a chance and opportunity. And there's a lot of people, it's the same way. All they need is a chance. There's so many kids out there. All they need is an opportunity. And they'll thrive. All they need is an opportunity. And they'll be successful. Our community is backwards, man. You know, anytime you're making fun of all the smart kids, that's backwards.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You making fun of the kids that's smart, that's backwards. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the kids that's going to be ruling the world. But sometimes, and it seems like even more than ever, kids aren't emotionally equipped to deal with it. You know, you got kids in crazy levels of depression. You got kids that's, you know, committing suicide because they don't have the mental capacity to deal with the trials and tribulations that's in front of them. You know, back, you know, when we was growing up, it was sticking stones. You know, you can say whatever you want to me. As long as you don't touch me, we good. Now it's like, you know, you say the wrong thing and the kids are locking themselves in a room for a week. Like, it's a level of softness. I don't want to call it softness, but it's just like the emotional aspect of kids these days is just different. And me being a little bit more old school, I can't frown upon. I can't say, oh, well, you just need to toughen up. You can't just do that because you got to treat the situation for what it is, not where I want it to be or what I think it should be. You got to treat it for what it is. And if the situation is that they're sensitive, then I got to approach it in that way. And that's how we have to, when we're interacting with people, have to deal with it. Like I said on Sunday, we can't just, like your mom was saying, like, we got to be able to deal with whatever the household is. We got to be able to communicate and deal with those households without being judgmental. You know, like, we don't know at what point in anybody's journey that anyone's on. All we got to do is be there as support, to love, and then we'll see what happens. That's it. That's our only job, is to support and love. And if we can support and love, everything else is going to take care of itself. That's the power of love, at least in my opinion. That's how I believe strong love is. If you can provide a kid that's been through so much trauma and just give that kid support and love, that kid's going to thrive. That kid is going to get up. He's going to then put himself back together and then thrive, because love is contagious. Love is building. Love is building up, not tearing down. And as long as you're loving and you're building someone up, they're going to make it. They're going to be all right. And that's the power of it. And that we just need more people in the community that's doing that, that's supporting and loving, not worried about getting yours. You know, everybody's in that dog-eat-dog mentality. Everybody in that survival mode. It's, I'm going to get mine. You better get yours. Instead of saying, you know what? Let me make sure you get yours. Let me help you get yours. Let me love you so that then you can love others. And that's how we change the community, by loving the community, regardless of who they are and what they are. You know, understand that they could be corner boys that you could just be cool with. And they can see that, and they'll see you like, you know what? I want to be like that dude. You know, I'm here doing this because that's what I feel like I need to be doing or I have to do. But if you show someone something different, show them another way, they can take that way. They know that there's another way they can go. You know what I'm saying? There's so many kids that think that there's only one way to do it. There's only one way to get it. And that's not true. It's multiple ways of getting it.
Multiple streams.
Yes, it is. It's multiple ways of getting it.
Yeah. I know. I think
instead of flipping that pack, flip that house.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it was Killer Mike said that, never stop hustling, but you got to shift the hustle to a legitimate hustle.
Right.
He was talking about, I don't even know, remember where I saw it, but he was talking about how these drug dealers, these trappers can make $250,000 in a couple months. So there's no reason why they can't take that quarter mil
same energy
and then start a business and leave the life. You know what I mean? And
right.
Like he's like, they don't want to.
They get addicted to the life.
That's about it. That they just want to keep going because you can take that seed money, flip it, start a business, and you can still be making money. You can still be
flossing. You can still do it, right. But you know,
talking about that lifestyle.
That's because it's the same thing. It's not just our communities. It's the reason why people like Bonnie and Clyde become famous. It's the reason why, you know, the outlaws become famous because there's something about being bad that people love. You know, it's just something about it. You know, living on the edge, being a bad boy. That's why all the bad dudes all get all the girls. There's something about it. You know what I'm saying? So, unfortunately, there's always going to be that element. But it's up to us what we place our value in. It's up to us what we teach our kids to place our value in. And it's not into, you know, being a corner boy. You can still have you can still be of the culture and still have the swag, but you don't have to be slinging, you know, drugs. There's other ways of doing that. You know what I'm saying? And it's just got to show, you got to show those kids that, yeah, he got it that way, but you can get it this way and you ain't got to worry about getting locked up because there's no end game for that. There's no end game in that game. You know, it's either dead or in jail. Mm-hmm. Ain't too many people retiring from the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They either go to jail or they end up getting killed and getting their spot get taken. You know what I'm saying? But you don't have to go that way. You can go the legitimate route. Don't get me wrong. There's still hustling the gentleman route. There's still enemies. There's still people that's going to be trying to get in your way and take what's yours. But now it's legit. You know, now that passion for the hustle, that passion for the grind is going into something that's constructive, you know? And if you find someone smart to help you, you know, deal with your finances, then now you're grinding and you're just building an empire. You're just building and building and building. But again, you know, we gotta do better in terms of our children and our children's children because we can't let TV and music dictate what success is or what, you know, making it is. Because, yes, it's fun and it's a good time. Don't get me wrong. I diddy bop with the next trap song easily, but that don't mean I'm of that life.
Right. Okay. But just to go over the steps, let me reiterate what you said. First thing we need to do is we need to give this generation, we need to give our people hope. They need to understand that there is something better out there. And that will encourage them to do step two, which is dream. Dream. Right. Get your vision of what you can be. Get your purpose, what God called you to do, and what God has established for you. And that will help move you forward. The next thing they need to do is to educate themselves. Mm-hmm. You have to learn the game because ignorance equals death. Ignorance equals when, for lack of knowledge, people throw off restraint. So they don't have any discipline. They don't have anything that stops them from making bad decisions in their ignorance. So you got to educate yourself. The next thing you need to do, get a plan. My dad says a dream without a goal is just a fantasy. Mm-hmm. So you need your dream, you need the goal, and then you need actionable steps that you can take to get there. And then that last step is just to work hard, walk it out, take that plan, take that education, and just go for it. And it takes time. Like you said, we're not going to find a get-rich-quick scheme. It's going to take work. It's going to take time. You got to be patient.
Right. Get-rich-quick don't exist.
Right.
Don't exist. Because it's always said, it's always a catch-22. You know what I'm saying? Because if there was a possible way to get rich quick, people be doing all the time. And actually it is. It's called the lottery. And people pay it all the time. That's it. That's the only get rich quick scene. Like even if you hustling, it ain't get rich quick. It's fast money, but it's dangerous money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, take dream. Having a dream. That's the first step. Teach. It's okay to dream. Just have hope. Be hopeful for the future. You know that there's something more, that you can have more, that you deserve more. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the big one. And then within that, a level of saying that you deserve more is also holding yourself up to a certain standard to deserve more. Make sure you clean your room, clean yourselves. Like, make sure you put the self-care into it, because first of all, no one's going to treat you better than you treat yourself. And if you're treating if you're not treating yourself well, how do you expect anyone else to treat you any better? You know, people are going to follow your lead on how you treat yourself. You know what I'm saying? If you talk down to yourself, they're going to talk down to yourself. If you think low of yourself, they're going to think low of you. You know what I'm saying? So self-care is, that's a big, big, big part of it. You know, and a lot of times I, you know, me being in pest control, I'm going into people's households. I'm seeing how people are living, and like, they just beat down, and their home shows it. They don't see that the home and the way the home is kept makes a difference. Like, that's a big difference. That's a big difference in you as an adult, and that's a big difference as the children that's within that house. You know what I'm saying? They go to school and then they come home and everything's a mess. That does something to their psyche. You know what I'm saying? So there's a responsibility into keeping and maintaining a certain household that parents need to have. You know what I'm saying? That's something that I think is really, really important that is being overlooked, because you don't want to tell people how to live their life. You don't want to judge people in their home. And it's not judging. It's just saying, hey, you deserve better than this. You need better than this. Your children deserve better than this. So do better than this. And I think that's where some of it starts, because it starts so small in terms of self-care, and it grows into something bigger. Because if you don't care for yourself, how can you dream big? You know? So I think that's a big part of it. Self-care. That's a struggle for me. That's something I'm working on myself. You know, self-care and making sure I'm doing all the things to take care of myself. And that's a struggle. And you would think that it'd be the one thing that anybody and everybody should be able to do, but that's a struggle, you know. Yeah, I'm addicted to certain foods and certain patterns that I gotta try to break within myself, and it's a struggle.
Man, you's a good dude. You know that?
I try
you're
to be.
Just a quality individual.
I try to be, but I mean, yeah, I ain't perfect though. That's the thing. Like, I'm probably my worst critic. I'm probably the hardest on myself than anybody else. And I know I am, but that's how I need to be, because I need to motivate myself to, you know, to do better. Because like I said, if I'm not growing, I'm dying, and I'm not ready to die. You know what I'm saying? I'm not DMX. Or was that? No, that's Biggie. That's Biggie. That's Biggie. I'm not Biggie. I'm not. You know what I'm saying? I want so much more out of life. Like, I feel like I deserve so much more out of life, and I got the audacity to feel that way, and I'm okay with that. I don't care. I do feel like I deserve way more than I have, and I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to get more. It's not easy. It's not going to be something that's, you know, it's going to happen with a snap of a finger. But when I look back on my life, I'm going to say, I'm not going to have that regret. Like, I should have did this, or I should have did that. I'm going to say, man, I tried it. Even if I failed, I tried it. It ain't work out, but at least I tried. And that's the biggest thing that I want to teach anybody that I come in contact with. Don't leave yourself with regrets. I got guys at my job that they always complain. They say they're miserable. I tell them right up, like, why are you here then? You know, leave. Go somewhere where you're going to be happy. You know what I'm saying? Why are you here complaining and if you're so miserable? Life is too short to be this miserable. Go find your happiness somewhere else. We going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? This business is going to be all right. So go take care of yourself.
I agree with that. 50% of a lot of people in my job who are just like that, who've been there for 20, 30 years, and I don't know if they just don't know what else to do, or but they're miserable, and it's clear that they're miserable. They won't do anything.
That's the funny thing about us as humans, is we adapt. You know what I'm saying? No matter what the situation is, they'll figure it out. If they'd left today, they will figure out what they'll do next. You know how I know that? Because if they get fired today, they're going to figure out what to do next.
They're
going to have to. So if that's how we are, if that's how we are, and how we are when we adapt to change that way, then we got the power to change. We don't have to make the situation make us do it. We can do it ourselves. We can make that decision. We can take control of our decision-making. We can take control of our life and not let life happen to us, but make life happen. You know what I'm saying? Don't let life happen to you. Make life happen. That way things happen on your terms.
Wow. Don't let life happen to you. Just make life happen.
Oh, absolutely. You know, because when you let life happen to you, you're not in control. You're giving control up to, you know, someone else, and someone else is in control of how you are and your well-being. But when you make life happen, it's like you see things differently. You know what I'm saying? Like when you are making life happen, you see, you know what? I deserve a raise. I'm going to ask for it. You know what I'm saying? Right. If they don't give it to me, it's their loss. I'm going to go find someone that's going to give me what I think I deserve. Right. Or I'm going to go find out how to make how much I deserve.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you're not dependent on anyone else. You're not, okay, the only way I can get what I want is if you give it to me. No, I'm going to go take what I want. I'm going to go get what I want because I'm in control of my life. I'm in control of my destiny, not you. And that's
so.
And that fear, like I talked about on Sunday, fear is the only thing that stops us from doing that.
Right.
You know, because we're afraid what might happen. We're afraid it ain't going to work. We're afraid what's going to happen, how I'm going to pay my bills. You know what I'm saying? Right. How what if I don't get that job? Or what if this? And what if that? I don't live in a world of what if. It could be what if anything. If I'm going to go what if. If I'm going to live. This is how I feel like what if. Right? This is what I feel about what if. If I'm living in a world of what if, which is in real life. It's what if this happens. I'm going to live in the world of what if it works.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like if we're living in the world of what if, why not live in the world of what if it works? Opposed to what if it doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Both of them aren't real. Both of them is in a situation that's real life. Exactly.
Right.
So if I'm going to live in that era, in that, you know, environment of what if, that space of what if, I'm going to live in a what if it happens, what if it's successful, what if it works out the way I want it to. That's the world of what if I'm living in. And if I'm, if I stick with that energy and if I stick with that type of, passion, I'm going to be all right. Because you know what? Because if I get there, and now it's not working out, I'm still living in that world of what if it starts to work out, or what if I do this instead? You know what I'm saying? Right. What if I shift here a little bit, then to make it work? You know what I'm saying? Constantly finding a way to make it work. And that's the key. Constantly figuring out, putting out fires, find a way to make things work out for your well-being. Not, oh, it didn't work out. This is stupid. Why did I even try? No, not at all. Let's figure it out. And then once you have, like, that's difficult when you're by yourself. But if you get like-minded people that's living in that same space, when things don't go exactly as planned, but you both are like, well, what if we do it this way, though? It'll work out better. And both of you are like, all right, what's the next step? That type of energy is unstoppable. That type of, partnership is unstoppable because you'll be motivating them, they'll be motivating you, and you'll both be catapulting each other forward to keep going, to keep pushing. And that is unstoppable.
Wow.
And what the biggest thing is, what is there to be afraid of? When you really think about it, what is there to be afraid of? That you're going to be broke? You've already been broke.
Right? You know how to deal with that.
I already know how to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I already know what that's like. I know how to manage. I know how to operate in that world of being broke. You know what I'm saying? The benefit outweighs the cons. The pros outweighs the cons tenfold. So why not go for it?
Why not go for it?
And why not? Why not you? Why wouldn't you deserve it? Why don't think you deserve it? You know what I'm saying? Like, you look at TV, you see all these cats, you know, getting it out there, being successful, and they got half the brain you got.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. If that dude can do it, there's no way I can't do it. That's how, honestly, back when I was younger, when I first went to get my license, that's how I told myself I knew I can do it. Because I said, if that girl got her license, I know I can drive and get my license.
Oh, and bro, you was driving everywhere without NAV license.
I know, right?
Dropping me off without NAV license. That's how you knew you could get your license, because you could drive.
I was already driving. That one killed me though. Like when I ended up getting caught without a license, and I got it suspended for a year. I got my permit suspended for a year because I ain't have a license, so I couldn't get my permit for a year. So I'm like, all right. Which killed me was like, all right, cool. My year's up. Let me go get my permit. They was like, did you pay your registration fee? I was like, no. How much is it? Is it $25? I said, all right, cool. Let me write you a check. He said, and once you pay that, then your suspension starts. So I had to wait a whole another year.
What?
Yes. I was like, wait a minute. You mean my time ain't starting till I pay this thing? And I should have read the fine print. Yep, so I had to wait a whole other year. Yep. I don't think I got my license until I was like 20.
Right. I got mine when I was 20, but I couldn't drive. That was terrible. I remember it was Anthony's car that I was trying to parallel park.
Was it the Galant?
The whole car was on the side. No, it wasn't the Galant. It was before the Galant.
The Corsica?
The Corsica.
The burgundy one?
Yes.
Yeah.
I put that whole Joker on the sidewalk. The whole thing. It just parked on the side. I knocked on the door like, can y'all come help me with this?
Yeah, I remember you had that. What is that little pony? Was it called the little? Was it the mini? That Jones with no brake pedal, or no gas pedal?
No gas pedal.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that puppy.
That one time we was racing to Steve's house, and you talk about that trash. Like, how's your? Because it ain't my car. Ain't had no radio. He was like, "How's my music?"
Man, those times, man. But that's what I'm saying. That's what it's about, man. There's no reason why. You know, early in the conversation, you were like, you know, you were a kid, now you're an adult. But there's no reason why we still can't have fun and be playful as an adult. And ain't got to be always serious all the time. Even though we're dealing with serious stuff, we still got to enjoy the journey, man. We got to enjoy the journey. Because when it's all said and done, it's not about the destinations. About the journey and the path that you went across. You look back and said, that was fun. You know what I'm saying? That was fun when we did that. That was fun when we did this. And that's what it's about. Because even though I'm working towards, you know, goals and destinations, I'm always going to reset a goal. Even when I get it, I'm going to then set another one to go take me forward. So it's never going to be about the goal, but it's going to be about the journey getting there.
About the journey, is about the habits you develop. It's about everything.
The relationships you cultivate along the way.
Uh-huh.
Come on, that's what it's about, man. And just want to enjoy the ride, and just be successful, man. I just want to be successful. I want to get to the point where, like, honestly, where I want to be and where I'll feel comfortable is when I'm at the point where I'm not really worried about bills. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got enough money coming in that I know the bills are paid. So now I just focus on other things, you know, focus on how I'm going to get more money, focus on how I'm going to support my community, focus on other things, because the bills isn't something I have to worry about. And there's a lot of people that live that way, that their day to day, they're not worried about electric bill, rent, mortgage payment, or anything like that. They know it's covered. So their headspace is totally different. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't worry about grocery shopping. They don't worry about any of those things. That's not something that's weighing heavy on them. And that's where I want to get to. You know what I'm saying? That's not
already.
Yeah, that's not millions and millions of dollars. I'm not trying to be a multimillionaire. Don't get me wrong. If I get there, okay. But yeah, I just want to be the point where, you know, I ain't got to worry about a payment or a broken down car really set me back or anything like that. I just want to be financially stable.
Because those people that are like that are in a mindset to create.
In
a mindset to like give back and to live out purpose and everything.
Because absolutely.
The survival stuff to take care of.
Yep. And that's where I want to get. That's when I get. I want to get to myself. That's when I want to make sure my family is. That's when I want to make sure my community gets to. I want to create a legacy. I want my name to mean something to a lot of people. And that takes work. That takes not only work as in physical work, but that takes so much mental work. Because, you know, when you start living, like, thinking about legacy, you start thinking about responsibility. And, you know, anyone that's looking up to you, you are now responsible for that person. You have a responsibility to make sure you don't lead them astray. And I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I want to be. I want to be something that little kids say, I want to be just like him, you know, and not because I can shoot a basketball or write a hot line, but because I'm a man of integrity, I'm a man of purpose, and I'm a man of success.
Good. you're doing all right. And like you trying. Said, that aspect of moving from survival mode to living to thriving, I feel like the Bible says the same thing in Matthew 6. They're talking about, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink or where you're going to live at. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all of those things are going to be added unto you. And a lot of Christians who have been in the game for a very, very, very long time, they've been living their life in church since they were children, they're still struggling with those little things, with the paying the bills. They're still worried about what they're going to drink, where they're going to live. They're worried about what are they going to wear. They're worried about those basic things. Mm-hmm. When the formula is to seek first the kingdom or seek first the purpose that you have, utilize the giftings that you have, utilize the brain that God gave you. You were talking about on Sunday that's mm-hmm. one of our greatest gifts.
Oh yeah.
Use that to establish yourself to actually create wealth, so you don't have to worry about those little things.
Right, and that was huge. Understanding how powerful your brain is, that's huge. You know, your brain can really, really stop you or have you pull through anything. So if you can master the brain, if you can master your thoughts, there is nothing that's going to stop you, because that's the only thing that stops you, those thoughts, those doubts. You know, you start doubting things. You start doubting if it's going to work. You start doubting if you can do it, and you start doubting if you should do it. Then that leaves you paralyzed and you stopped, because now doubt is fear, and then that fear stops you from moving forward. But if that same thought process that can stop you from moving forward, if you can control that thought process, that's the same thought. That's the same brain that can catapult you forward. That's the same brain that say, get up off your ass and go do it. That's the same brain that says, yo, you are unstoppable. No one can stop you. That's the same brain that can say, hey, you are capable and you deserve. Now, if the brain can do that, if you can focus your brain on living in that space opposed to that doubt, what's going to stop you?
Nothing.
Who's going to stop you? All the way up. All the way up. Who's going to stop you? Who's going to stop you, huh?
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Like, we all have God in us. We have the power of God in us. And if we can harness and take a hold of that power, then we are good. Like, we'll have the capability of accomplishing anything. So, like, right now, where I'm at and where I'm at in my life is I want to help. Like, I feel like I'm wasting myself, I guess you could say, by not living that purpose, not helping, not, you know, trying to help people that, and it sounds kind of arrogant, but help people from seeing the way I see things. I want to help people see the way I see things. And when I say that, I mean just help them by understanding there's nothing that can stop them from accomplishing a goal. You know, so with no matter what that goal is, with the right planning and the right action, there's nothing that's going to stop you from accomplishing it. You know, as long as you don't let your brain strike you, don't let your mind play tricks on you, you know, there's nothing that's going to stop you from doing whatever it is. And now it's about, okay, so I believe that. And now I'm asking, what's your goal? What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? What is it that you want to do in life? And then I'm like, and then when I get that answer, I'm like, okay, well, how are you going to do that? I don't know. All right, well, let's think about it. Let's figure it out. Let's understand what it takes to do it, and let's put a plan together. And that's all it takes. Because now the plan is there. Now the accountability part of that plan is easy, because now I know your plan. So, hey, you get that done yet? No? Nah? Right. What you waiting for?
Uh-huh.
What you waiting for? What's the hold up? Oh,
what you did. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
What had happened?
What had happened was.
And then it's like, really? Really? That stopped you from doing it? Really? Come on, man. Do better. So, you know, and that's the thing. And that's what it is. We need to start, you know, having goals, putting plans together, and then holding everybody accountable to those plans. Accountability is what we need. 100% accountability. If I allow my brother to say, I want to do A, B, C, and D, but I'm not calling them, asking them about A, B, C, and D. Am I really helping them?
Not at all.
Right. So let's bring that spirit of accountability within the community, and which right. also means arguments, fights. You know, because holding somebody accountable ain't easy, and it ain't fun. In the first instinct is to be defensive. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
When that defensiveness comes, one, mm-hmm. first thing you say, listen, I love you. Try to kind of disarm that, you know, like, listen, this is just me mm-hmm. trying to help you out. You know what I'm saying? Help you mm-hmm. move forward, because I want to be support. I want to be a resource. I want to help you get what you want out of life, and be able to diffuse that situation. That's what we need to be. That's what we need to do. We got to be our brother's keeper.
I am our brother's keeper.
I have to.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you've been doing that for me for years. When I started this journey a couple years ago, I came home first and was like, yo, this is what I want to do, and this is my dream.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back to Orlando, got caught up with my regular job, and he was like, hey, buddy.
That's life.
What you had just said,
bro. I feel like I've been taking it easy on you too. So
you have been.
Right? You know what I'm saying? I've been slipping on that accountability. But listen,
I'm doing a lot better than I was. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what we need. Like we need each other. You know what I'm saying? We need each other to keep it. And it's just honestly, it's a phone call. It's really a phone call. Yo, what's up? What you doing? Cause now you're like, oh shit, you wanna ask me about what's his name? let me get on that. But that's what it's needed, man. I mean, I miss you, man. I do. I really do, man. And I need your support, and I know you can use mine. So like, we gotta make this a regular thing, like for real.
Absolutely.
And
so
I definitely want to get with your dad, cause I got big plans, but I know I need help. I need help organizing. I need help controlling. Like these thoughts and these ideas. Your sister's good with it too. Like your sister, Bet, she on point. Like, I need to start bouncing ideas off of her, and she can help me put plans together. But you know, I'm thinking, I think big. Like one thing, and I know she'll be on board. Like we need arts. We need to bring the arts back to Norristown. We should have like a what do they call it? Like a playhouse or something like that. Where kids that like acting or singing and stuff, and put productions together and plays and stuff like that. We need a building like that in Norristown, because Norristown is trying to turn around. They're trying to build some things up. They done sold the sewer system. They sold the sewer system there. They're rebuilding some buildings on Main Street. It's gonna be like a barbecue shop, a bunch of like 10 one bedroom studios. They're trying to redevelop. They're trying to do things there. So it's the perfect timing to do things in the community, so we don't get pushed out. You know, this gentrification that happens, they push people out. And next thing you know, like the people that's been in these neighborhoods for years have to then get misplaced and displaced and go somewhere else. So avoid that. Let's get ahead of it so that doesn't happen. And that's the plan. That's my plan. And I think it'll work. And, you know, we start getting nice stuff. Start getting nice things in Norristown, and start having people understand, like, yo, you deserve nice things. Keep them nice. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a process. It's going to be a headache, you know, but, you know, if we stick to, you know, our goals of turning the community around, we'll get through it. We'll get through it. You know who I want to link up with, though? Hakeem Jones. Didn't you go to school with him?
Yeah, that's my cousin.
That's your cousin?
Yeah, that's my cousin. Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah,
he's a councilman.
My dad. Yeah, I know. My dad and his mom are half siblings. So,
yeah. Well, I got to end because he's already a councilman. So.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to your dad about providing like housing. Providing like we were saying, like a housing program for, you know, either young moms, young families, and, you know, get them housing, and then also counseling, so that the house is what's needed to thrive. You know, that's one of my biggest things, understanding what it takes for a house to thrive. Love, I understand love and support, but what does love and support look like? And how do we make sure that's provided within the home? How do we counsel people, especially young families, to provide that in the home. You know, I mean, that's the change. That's the planting the seed, and then watching it grow. You know, as they grow, and we do that over and over again. Now we got a bunch of houses, a bunch of communities, and a bunch of families, young families, learning the right way to bring up their family. Then we start affecting change, because that household changed. That means that child, and not only the child, but those parents, those young parents, understand the responsibility and the magnitude of what they got to do. And I think that's key. And then not only that, provide jobs. I'm trying to streamline the whole thing. Have jobs, have housing, have food. You know what I'm saying? Garden, community garden. That was my idea to connect the older generation and younger generation. Because the older generation needs stuff to do too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like they're, a lot of them just sit in the house watching TV. Some of them need something to do. Get out the house. You know, go to community garden, teach, learn how to garden, and also teach younger people how to garden. So we know learning how to grow our own food. That's huge. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's a huge thing for people to know how to do. And then not only that, go and set up something that that sets up little individual gardens. You know, within people's household, rooftops, backyards, different things like that. So now, you know, everybody individual, not only learning how to grow food, there's a business aspect to it that's teaching and also setting up little gardens in other people's homes. You know what I'm saying? So like streamlining everything. And that's creating that system. Everything's about system, creating systems, creating that system in which now we got providing housing. We're providing jobs, we're providing food, we're providing education, we're providing ideas. That's how you change a community. That's how you get a community to thrive. And that's something that's going to take a long time. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. But that's, you know, planting the seeds for the tree. Planting the seed. You're not going to see the fruits of that for a while. But as long as you're planting it, once you do, that harvest comes, it's going to be ridiculous. And that was the name. That was the name I thought of for the, you know, healthy supermarket, Harvest.
Yeah. That's good, man. I hope all the stuff is written down.
I'm going to run a Harvest and grab some tomatoes, right? Some cucumbers, some collard greens, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But that's what I like. That's amazing. It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. And I think that with, you know, with your dad, your mom help, we could kind of really make that thing happen. And then Becky on the on the community aspect of the connecting with the kids and creating an environment where these kids want to express themselves artistically, whether it's dance, whether it's singing, whether it's rapping, rather whatever the case may be, creating a platform or creating something that they can express themselves that way. You know, getting an art studio, get kids painting and stuff like that. Like other finding things for these kids to do other than the normal. We'll still do the sports, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, because I'm a sports guy. But as long as the youth understand there's options. That was the biggest thing that I got that surprised me and also made me mad once I moved from Philly to Conshohocken. Because once I moved from Franklin Learning Center to Plymouth White Marsh, just the amount of options I had. They handed me the sheet of extracurricular activities, and the sheet was like this long, and it was like small print of all these things that I can do and sign up for. I'm like, what the heck is this? I'm like, what is lacrosse? What is lacrosse? What is that? I'm like, what is that? Like, and that was probably the thing that, you know, took me back the most, the fact that there was so much opportunities to do so many different type of things that I didn't even know existed. And I think that's where we fall short, is providing opportunities. And I want to do it in a way in which we're making enough money to finance it ourselves. So we're not looking for handouts, and that's not going to stop us because we're going to finance it ourselves. I ain't looking for handouts. I'm not looking for permission. I'm done. I'm done worried about, who's going to do this? How am I going to get this? No. We'll find it. We'll figure it out on our own. If we pull the community together, we can figure it out on our own. If we pull the community together, we can finance it on our own. But, you know, That's going to be the hard part.
Yeah.
But not impossible.
Not impossible.
Definitely. Not impossible.
Definitely hard does not mean impossible.
Absolutely. Does not mean impossible. And as long as it's possible, I'm going to try to get it. Absolutely. I'm going to try to get it.
Cool. Oof. Man, I asked you to step off like that, okay? Chill, man. Relax.
Man, I got so I'm tell, passionate tell about the these people, things, man. I'm passionate.
Tell the people where they can find you. Your social media tag. Your
Well, you can find me. My Facebook is just me, Jermaine Little. My social media on, like, my Instagram is Big Little House Man. That's me, because, you know, my real estate thing. You can also find Big Little Homes on Facebook. That's my Facebook page. And I'm not really on Twitter much. You know, I gotta work on Twitter. That Twitter thing kind of got me. And, yeah, I got to figure that whole Twitter thing out. I'll get there, though. But that's just – I'm just out here trying to take one step at a time, little by little, trying to make a difference.
That should be a company name, Little by Little.
That's actually a great company name. I gotta
write that down.
You're
welcome.
I'll give you some royalties on that one.
And at the end of every episode, I always drop a final thought, but I would like you to do the honors to share with the audience, like, maybe
okay,
the last word of advice or a piece of wisdom.
My last word of advice would be, fear does not exist. Fear is a thought. Like I said, fear is a story that you're telling yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, anything that you think is scary or that you think is stopping you from doing anything, that's a story you're telling yourself. Change the story. Change it to something that's gonna move you forward. Change it to something that's gonna inspire you to go, not stop. Change it to something that's going to inspire you to want more and to go for more. That's my biggest thing. That's the thing that I've been trying to conquer and talk to people about getting over, is that fake thing called fear. You know, fear always puts you in two modes, fight or flight. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're in a fearful environment, you either want to fight or you want to flight. And it really breaks down your thought process in terms of how you can see your way out of things. It's breaking down your, like, your brain is really stopped, going really to primal mode. So you're not thinking straight when you got fear there. You're not thinking logically. So if you're fearful, you're not thinking logically. Recognize that. Recognize that you're not thinking logically. And the truth of the matter is that you can do it. The truth of the matter is you can't be stopped. The truth of that matter is you do deserve it. That's the truth of the matter. So go get it. Go get it.
My God. Thank you so much for joining me. And I can't wait to have you back again, man. That was exciting.
Anytime, man. Anytime. Absolutely. Right. I mean, I kind of went off. I mean, how long this thing was going? I'm going for a minute.
Yeah.
Next time I'll make it shorter.
Next time we'll be a little bit more organized and we'll have some topics to go
over. Yeah, let's do
this
that.
This time we was just kind of talking. Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll catch up, brother.
Next time. Yeah. There will definitely be next time. So I need to have you back. So look for me and make sure you're ready to talk about all them ideas, but not just talk about the idea, talk about what you executed on for the next
conversation. Oh, absolutely. Hopefully in the next conversation, I'll tell you some things that I put, you know, some actionable items that I got in place. So we'll see, brother.
Yeah. All right, man.
All right, man. Take it easy. Love you, man.
Dude. All right.
What's up, grown people? I hope you enjoyed that last segment. Now it's time for my final thought. My final thought this week is adjust. A lot of the problems and the obstacles that we're going up against have become so difficult because we refused to adjust. Change is inevitable. They say change is the only constant in this world. So if things change, you have to learn to adjust with it. Bruce Lee said, that we need to become like water. Water is powerful. Water does not change, but when you pour it into a glass, it takes on the shape of the glass. When you pour it into a teapot, it takes on the shape of that pot. We have to learn how to be able to adjust to our environment without changing the core and the crux of who we are. So adjust. Remember, folks, you are not a mistake. You, my friend, are a solution. I love you, and I'll see you next time.